98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
The 4 o'clock reset, the top stories of the day, and we start the 4 o'clock resets with news from the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're down 1-0 already to the Miami Marlins. You just heard Sarah describe it a second ago. Mikel Rojas, a solo home run off of Madison Bumgarner to lead off the game in the bottom of the first, and that's where we are right now, top of the second, and the Diamondbacks chasing a run against the Marlins 1-0. Pre-game, Troy Lovello was talking about Joaquin Soria, who was back for the Diamondbacks last night against the Marlins in garbage time. But today, Torrey said it will not be long before he is back in the back end of the bullpen.
With each pitch that he throws and each outing that he has, he's one inning closer or one outing closer to getting back into that back end. And we'll get him there. It's going to happen. It might happen tonight. I don't know. But it was certainly nice to see him back on the field again and pitching and performing at a healthy level.
Yeah, didn't have the best comeback, struggled, gave up a couple runs. But I think that he's the guy that they are looking to lean on, Joaquin Soria, to be that back-end guy in the ninth inning to close out most of the games, not all of them, but most of the games that they have an opportunity to close.
The Diamondbacks have reached an agreement with Caesars to bring a sports book to the plaza just outside of Chase Field. Here's team president and CEO Derek Hall.
Fans are going to be able to download the app and become members, and then they can bet through the app anywhere in the state. And if they want to physically place bets, they can do it at our sports book for any and all games and sports other than our local colleges.
It's a brave new world. We got a sports book at Suns Arena. We got a sports book just outside Chase Field.
I'm honestly surprised it took so long to get here. I'm actually surprised it took so long. It was just a matter of time. There's too much money involved in gambling. You want tax money off of it.
Yeah,
You want that to be regulated.
Word?
Regulated. Yeah, you want it to be regulated.
Arizona does not tend to be the most progressive state when it comes to things like this, and I imagine there was a lot of waiting around to see how this was going to play with other states. How would it work? How easy was it to regulate? How easy was it to manage? And now that they're seeing everybody else do it so well, there is just too much money. It's just weird to think that building that our Fish Tank Studios is attached to, and you and I have both spent countless shows in that fish tank, that's now going to be a sports book. That's weird. That's weird and kind of exciting to think about it all at the same time. Meanwhile, as the 4 o'clock reset continues, the Angels have released Albert Pujols today.
Well, Albert Pujols was not in the lineup yesterday when Ryan Yarbrough, a left-hander who he's absolutely crushed throughout his career, was pitching for the Tampa Bay Rays. He was not happy about that. But at the same time, this is something that some people in the Angels organization have thought about doing as far back as spring training.
The final year of his mammoth 10-year contract.
A colossal failure of a contract. 10 years and $240 million equaled no playoff wins. They didn't win one game in the playoffs with Albert Pujols. He was never the best player on their team. When he was in St. Louis, he won 3 MVP awards. He won 2 World Series championships. He finished out. He never finished outside the top 10 in the MVP voting when he was in St. Louis. He never finished inside the top 10 when he was in Anaheim. It was a colossal failure of a signing.
Former Packer fullback John Kuhn says Aaron Rodgers is conflicted about his future with Green Bay.
So he hasn't ruled out a return to Green Bay is what you're telling me. Are you saying that
Absolutely
at all?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I still believe there is an opportunity at a resolution here, and I just think it's going to take it's going to take two men that are dug in right now and trying to meet in the middle somewhere where they're both happy.
You think he's done in Green Bay?
I'm thinking about that. I mean, if he wants to be done in Green Bay, he could be done. I was listening to one of the shows this morning, and I think it was Bickley and Murata, and they were talking about how the last guy that actually, did this, Carson Palmer. I'm retiring.
Yeah.
Like, listen, trade me or I'm retiring.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to trade you. Well, then I'm retiring. And then a couple months later, they traded him to the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah. A quick update from the Diamondbacks game. Pavin Smith just a double into the right center field gap, and it's a 1-1 game right now in the top of the second. Yeah, he's played very, very well.
That's my favorite guy out of all the young players.
But our top story of the day today on the Burns and Gambo show is the Phoenix Suns, and at least by point margin, their worst loss of the season last night to the Atlanta Hawks. Second night of a back-to-back. To hear Monty Williams talk about it after the game, it's almost like he expected it. that they played an overtime game against Cleveland the night before, had to fly to Atlanta, got in late, tired legs. They certainly looked tired yesterday. You'd think, though, that what happened last night is far more a function of season-long fatigue versus it being the second night of a back-to-back and the fact that they played in overtime the night before.
Listen, I get that they played in overtime the night before. They got into Atlanta about 2 o'clock in the morning. By the time they hit their beds, it might have been 3 o'clock in the morning. I get that. Had to get up and do a COVID test, right? I get all of that. I understand that. I think that it's a long season. It's a draining season, especially when you're playing in so many meaningful games that just drain you. These games drain you.
Emotionally, mentally, sure. Psychologically, physically. Yes,
so I don't think that this is because of one game. I don't think this, they were tired because they played the night before. I think that there are just some tired guys. You know, they're not playing great defense anymore. I think some of their legs are gone. We've been talking about this decision, do you rest guys or not, for about 3 weeks now because – you know, that's what teams do. I mean, you know, teams and coaches, they know, you know, you rest guys, give them a mental break, give them a physical break, and make sure they're ready for the playoffs.
We've been talking about it, but we haven't seen any real evidence that it's been needed until recently, right? We've been talking about it for weeks, but they just went 5-2 in that 7-game stretch. We haven't seen a lot of evidence that it's been required until recently when they collapsed against Oklahoma City and barely won.
Well, even if it's not required, I think you prepare for it.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying that we've been kind of looking for the signs that they look tired and they really haven't shown it that much.
True.
Eddie Johnson was on Bickley and Marotta today, and he was asked if he thought the Suns looked tired, and he kind of agrees with you on this.
It's a mental thing. And, you know, look, I do a stair-stepper all the time. When I first get on that stair-stepper, man, I'm dancing, I'm singing. People in the club think I'm crazy. I don't care. You know, the only way I can get through this thing is to have my music on, and I'm on the stair-stepper, like, doing some Michael Jackson. I'm just having a good time, right? Go walk away and then come back with about 20 minutes later. I'm leaning over the machine, and I'm gasping. Okay? I'm wore out. So that's what we're dealing with right now. We're dealing with the malaise of a long season. Mm-hmm. And you will get rejuvenated once you see that bright light and it says playoffs.
And they will. And
second wind.
Yeah, and they will. And look, like a lot of things, it doesn't have to be black or white. Were they tired because they played an overtime game the night before? Probably. Were they tired because the season has been a grind mentally and physically and everyone's gone in for them? And probably, I mean, yes, the answer to both questions is yes. The real question is, what are they going to do about it? Are they going to do anything about it? Are they going to start resting guys? Are they going to start or are they going to say, we've got 6 games left, we're done with the back-to-backs other than that trip to San Antonio, and we don't have to leave. We're in San Antonio one night, we're in San Antonio the next night, we're not flying anywhere. Will they choose to do anything about it, or will they use the play-in tournament when the Suns are just sitting and watching? Is that going to be their rest, and is that going to be enough? That's really all that matters right now at this point. What are they going to do about it if they are tired?
If they lose in the first round, they look lethargic, we're gonna second guess.
Of course.
So I don't want to second guess now. I want to say that I would rest guys, and I wouldn't go for the one seed.
So you would start giving guys nights off now.
I want to say this now because I that's the way I feel. I don't really care. One or two, I don't care as much. Like, I'd rather be rested and healthy for the playoffs because you know damn well that if the Suns go out there and they lose in the first round to somebody and they don't look very good and they give up a lot of points and you know, whatever it is and their legs just, you're going to say, man, they were too tired. Now you learn your lesson and, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen next year. But I would rather try to get it right and get these guys a second win for this year's playoffs.
He started every Cardinals game for the last two seasons, but taking a closer look at Jordan Hicks' performance and the drafting of Zaven Collins begins to make some more sense when we look at those numbers. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns. On this Thursday afternoon, it was this time a week ago that the Arizona Cardinals, give or take an hour or two, selected Zaven Collins to be their first-round draft pick, the linebacker out of Tulsa. You had reported he was going to be the Mike linebacker, the middle linebacker. Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury had a press conference after the first round on Thursday night and said that there's going to be no moving him around. There's not going to be any chess piece. There's not going to be Isaiah Simmons, like we're going to put him here and put him there. He is our Mike linebacker. He is our middle linebacker. And then in the days after that, there was a very strong declaration from Cliff Kingsbury that the first and the second round picks, Zaven Collins and Rondale Moore, were going to play a lot their rookie year, right? Early, often, that was the mandate. That's how it's going to go. We'll talk about Rondale Moore in a bit. But when you look at what the Cardinals have in Zaven Collins' spot, and just using that as kind of our guide, it doesn't paint a real promising picture for Jordan Hicks moving forward, to say the least.
No, there was a good story on our website, arizonasports.com. Kevin Zimmerman did, hey, the five, you know, starting jobs up for grabs. And the first one was middle linebacker, Jordan Hicks or Zaven Collins. I don't see any way that Zaven Collins doesn't start, because Jordan Hicks is just not very good anymore. The others were, you know, who's going to be the number two cornerback, who's going to be the right guard, who's going to be the nose tackle, and who's going to be the number four receiver. I mean, those are all interesting and debatable. I don't think this one is. Jordan Hicks just doesn't play well anymore. He's going to be, you know, was he 29 years old, or he's going to be 29?
He'll turn 29 this summer, yeah.
Yeah, and he's just, he's slowed down. He can't cover anybody anymore, and he's just not that good of a football player. So, you know, they were looking at, look, they reduced his salary down to $2 million. If he was any good, his salary would not have been reduced down to $2 million.
Yeah, there was a story this morning on Revenge of the Birds, and a lot of this kind of dovetailed into some of the comments you had made about Jordan Hicks late last week and wondering how much longer he was going to be on the roster and how much longer he was going to be the starter. And a lot of it statistically kind of backs up what you're saying. Pro Football Focus grades the last couple years hasn't been very good. Last year, his run defense grades in conference games and division games specifically, not very good. The Cardinals made it a point to re-sign Tanner Vallejo, who's also a very good special teams player, and that's probably his number one function on the team. But he's also kind of the backup Mike linebacker, and the Cardinals made sure that they had him on the roster moving forward. And then they go draft what looks like Jordan Hicks' replacement in Zaven Collins. And again, you kind of add it all up, and it paints this sort of unflattering picture of what his future is going to be with the team. But I know you reacted very strongly when we talked about this earlier. And this does need to be said. If Jordan Hicks is not on this roster in 2021, and I'm not saying not a starter, I'm just saying not on this roster, it means that their starting Mike linebackers, or their depth at Mike linebacker, is going to be a rookie who just got drafted, and Tanner Vallejo, and a special teams guy. Yeah. And that might not be good enough just in case something gets sideways for the Cardinals.
Well, that's
this
why, listen, if you want to keep him as an insurance policy, you keep him as an insurance policy. I mean, the guy's got 75 games played under his belt. He's been in the league for, you know, 6 years now. This will be his seventh year. I mean, he's a decent insurance policy for a couple million dollars. You know, so I'm not opposed to that. To keeping him as an insurance policy. Now, if you needed the cap space, okay, that's one thing. Now, if you were going to, hey, if we cut Jordan Hicks, we're going to save $7.8 million on the cap. We're going to save $5.6 million. Well, okay, I can understand cutting him to save that money on the cap and using that money somewhere else. But I don't think the cap savings that you would get by cutting Jordan Hicks is anything that you're going to use that's going to really help you, because he's not making much money.
It's not a lot of money that you would save if you were to cut Jordan Hicks.
Right.
I understand his performance wasn't great last year, and I'm not sitting here trying to be the Jordan Hicks, you know, is the man kind of thing. Not at all. But I do, the only thing that makes me nervous about all of this whole conversation, and this goes back to draft night, okay? Yeah. What if Zaven Collins isn't ready? Because you said you can't foresee a circumstance in which he's not the starting middle linebacker for this team. He might not be ready to do that. He might not have everything down that needs to be down for him to be that. I mean, that is not an impossibility. You can't tell me that it's impossible.
He's not going to have everything down. He's not going to have everything down. You're not asking him to have everything down and be completely ready. You're saying, can you be better than Jordan Hicks, who can't cover anybody?
Can you be ready enough? That's the question. And I don't know if he's going to be ready. There's no way to know for sure until he actually does it whether he's ready enough to be the starting middle linebacker.
I get everything you're saying, but, okay, if he's not, then you're playing Jordan Hicks, who's not very good anymore.
Right.
So the question is, can he get ready enough to be better than Jordan Hicks?
That's the question I just asked.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know.
And if the answer is no, you better make sure Jordan Hicks is on the roster, because you might need him.
Sure.
To start the season. And this idea of Zaven Collins starter day one, here we go, might not be actual reality if he's not ready enough to be the starting middle linebacker for this team.
Yeah, and I think we all feel a little bit better about the fact that they have OTAs and they have an off season and they'll have preseason games and stuff like that to get the kid ready. So they'll have more. He'll have more of an opportunity to get ready than Isaiah Simmons did by a landslide.
Yeah, of course,
by a landslide.
Won't even be close.
If he's not ready, you know, I mean, could you say, okay, listen, we'll start Jordan Hicks for the first four games, and it buys him another month. You could always do that. You know, listen, we'll play Jordan Hicks and just try to survive for a few months until he's ready. Can you bring him in and have him split reps with Jordan Hicks in the beginning so you're not putting too much on him? I mean, there's a lot of ways to go. Look, ideally, he's ready and he plays day from day one and Jordan Hicks is the backup or he's gone.
Yeah.
I think if they could have traded Jordan Hicks, they would have done it. But he's still here. He's still on the roster. He took a massive pay cut down to about $2 million, and there's nothing wrong with keeping him as an insurance policy and a backup if Zaven Collins is ready to play.
And if you really want to trade him, I still think you probably could. If there was another, because I think he's not old by any stretch. He's 29. Yeah, the tape wasn't great last year, but it's probably not going to cost you a lot in terms of capital if you did want to move him. If there was some team that wanted that kind of veteran presence at linebacker, you probably could. I just don't know, you know, as much as anybody might like Zaven Collins, I just don't know if he's worth the risk, right? If a move like that is worth the risk, okay, are you sure that's what you want to go into the season with? Because we just don't know how Zaven Collins is going to react. He's a bright kid, valedictorian of his class, super smart, ready to go, ready to tackle that playbook. I get all of that. He might not be ready, and he might not be ready enough. And you're going to have to buy yourself some time in case that doesn't happen. So Jordan Hicks might have to stay on this roster, just to be sure. Unless you're that comfortable with Tanner Vallejo as the guy until Zaven Collins gets ready.
Boy, that's a really good question right there.
Are you comfortable
that's a
enough?
Really
with,
good. We haven't hit that angle.
Right. Are you comfortable enough with Tanner Vallejo? Maybe you go, you know what? He can do it. He's fine.
That might be the question we haven't asked. Oh, if Zaven Collins isn't ready, well then you got to play Hicks. No, maybe you play Vallejo. Maybe Vallejo could buy you three or four games to get Collins more up to speed if he needs to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great question.
When we come back, depending on who you ask, Aaron Rodgers' relationship with the Packers might still be salvageable. But now there are questions about why the report on his unhappiness was released when it was, the day of the draft. We'll get into that next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Two poll questions for you to ponder on this Thursday afternoon, and so we turn it back over to Sarah Cazell, who runs through the results so far here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
And here's Sarah with our Twitter poll. There we go. As always, you can find these poll questions on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page at Burns and Gambo. One word, please, 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 please follow our Twitter page. It makes it so much better for you as a listener to play along at home while you're following along on Twitter with the Burns and Gambo Show. Right, Sarah?
That's correct, Dave
right.
Burns.
Right.
That's right, John Gambadoro. Thank you.
Correctamundo.
We appreciate that.
What do you got for us today?
All right, let's start with our original poll question from before the show. We are focusing on the Phoenix Suns and some players that maybe are concerning some fans, some watchers right now in the final stretch of the regular season. We are asking, whose recent play for the Suns between Cam Johnson, Dario Saric, and DeAndre Ayton concerns you the most now that the playoffs are right around the corner and there are just, I think it's six regular season games left for Phoenix. Cam Johnson concerns you the most, Dario Saric concerns you the most, DA or other?
You went with DA.
I went with DeAndre Ayton just because I think to get where they want to go, like they need a big, they need him.
Oh, there's no doubt. I didn't go with him. This is going to sound really weird to say. I'm not that worried about him because he hasn't been there's been a game or two where he's been that bad, but there hasn't been a lot of that bad, you know what I mean? Like
okay.
he hasn't been that bad for that long where I'm like, oh my god, he's just been unwatchable for the last 2 weeks. He hasn't been great, but he hasn't been that bad. Mm-hmm. Cam Johnson has been pretty bad the last couple of weeks, and I say that with all due respect for a guy who's a key cog for them.
Sure.
He's got to take these six games and either get some rest or find his shot, because you can't go into the postseason with your top wing bench guy shooting 15% from the three-point line.
Think about this. Going into the season, who is your, you know, you were talking about the sixth and seventh and eighth best guys on the bench. Two of them, you know, you're not getting anything out of right now in Dario Saric and Cam Johnson.
Which is why Dario's not a bad answer for this question either. That's a really good point. What's our audience was split up pretty evenly the last time. Where are we now?
Yeah, Cam Johnson has started to pull away a little bit. 38% of the vote saying Cam is currently concerning them the most. 30% say DeAndre Ayton, and then 26% say Dario Saric. It's now 5.4% for others.
Really okay, even.
And what percentage of people's, when they pass a really bad car wreck, actually videotape it?
None, because we're safe drivers.
Well, based off of our show, 20%, because there's five of us doing it right now, and only one of us said yes. You're the only one who will actually pull out the phone and record what the accident scene looks like as you're driving by.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Trucks on fire. Yeah. Just hit record and keep my hand, just kind of put it out there.
I will say this, Gambo. So I don't record. I will rubberneck on occasion, not always, but I will say last summer, my fiance and I were driving up to Sedona for the weekend, and we got like a push alert through, I don't know, ADOT or whatever, saying that there was a car on fire on the side of the road and we would have some major traffic delays. So I was like, yo, we're going to drive by a car on fire. And I was actually a little bit excited for it. It was taken care of by the time we got there.
What
the traffic
letdown.
Was still there, but the car was not
next
on fire.
Next time you go by a car on fire, I'm telling you, just video record it.
Real quick.
Capture the moment.
Yeah. What's the second question?
Oh, yes. We had another poll question. The single best sports highlight of all time. We just left it open-ended, and it seems to still be, you know, everyone's saying the Miracle on Ice, the Minneapolis Miracle.
I thought of one. Do you remember the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat?
Yeah, where the skier tumbling down the mountain.
We're talking about all these great highlights. Well, what about a guy that failed?
Yeah.
I mean, talking about all these positive things. I like sometimes the negatives are good.
Okay.
That guy became a legend
for the show opened on the wide world of sports. Yeah,
we also forgot to mention Gonzo in Game 7. A lot of people did say the side step fist pumping.
Yeah, getting lucky doesn't count.
Oh my gosh!
We also might have another book title for Gambo's autobiography,
which is
"Forget the Positive, Focus on the Negatives."
Yes,
you hear that, Espo? Hashtag Gambo book titles.
That guy, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. We all grew up with it. If you're in your 40s or 50s, you know it. Or 60s, you know it.
Forget that skier. Forget the positives. Focus on the negatives by John Gambadoro. Coming to a Barnes & Noble near you.
With a foreword by Dave Burns.
Yeah. Oh, can I totally write the foreword for your book? I'd really like to.
Yeah, sure.
I'd really like to write the foreword for your book.
Oh, all of those guys just crashing.
All right, those are the poll questions. You can find it on the Burns & Gambo Twitter page, at Burns & Gambo. One word is where you can find us there. Adam Schefter, amid accusations that maybe he was given the Aaron Rodgers information, perhaps by Aaron Rodgers himself on the day of the draft to try to compel the Packers to trade him. Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider, went on the Dan Patrick Show today and was asked why he dropped the story on Rodgers when he did.
So you chose to break the news on draft day?
That is absolutely accurate. Correct.
But it wasn't something that you got information about?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, and there was nothing that morning that came in.
Okay.
All of a sudden said to me, yeah, he wants out. You should report this. Like, it was going on all off season. You just keep hearing it. And there was more and more talk. And now there's starting to be Aaron Rodgers talk. And I said, you know what? This isn't going to wait much longer. Let's just go. And it just happened to be drafted.
Because I wondered when you said it didn't come from Rodgers, didn't come from the Packers, and it's being characterized differently. I was wondering, okay, you're not going to tell me your source. You know, what was the motive behind that? Yeah.
Dan, there's not a source.
No, no, I know. But I know that now. But we're just finding this out right now.
I said it on NFL Live. I said it on my podcast. I said it. You know, I mean, I don't know. People want to believe whatever they want to believe. It was just an accumulation of information throughout the course of the entire offseason.
And to his credit, there were a whole bunch of other NFL insiders who, as soon as Schefter reported that Rodgers wanted out, the Ian Rappaport to the world and the Mike Garafolos, they started reporting exactly the same thing. So they had probably been hearing the same thing. But it seems like he's kind of battling this idea that Aaron Rodgers like spoon fed him this story the day of the draft to maybe try to force his way out. And instead, Schefter's saying, no, This was months and months and months of accumulating stories. I just chose on draft day that this was going to be the day I was going to tell the world about what was going on with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it could have been coordinated. It very well could have been coordinated to leak it that day to help with ESPN's coverage and boost the ratings, because it became, you know, the biggest story of the draft. And throughout the entire draft, you kept waiting to see, is Aaron Rodgers going to get traded? Is he going to end up getting traded? So it's very likely that it was leaked on that. Is it possible that, listen, he says it's an accumulation of information. At some point, you got to go with it. I mean, why did you wait for that day? You know,
because it was draft day.
It was draft day. Yeah. I mean, if you accumulated that information 3 weeks earlier, 4 weeks earlier, 6 weeks earlier, if you accumulated it, I mean, at some point you're like, okay, listen, I'm here and Aaron Rodgers wants out. And you go, you track it down. I mean, he's got, you know, he should be able to track that down. Go to your connections. And because if a guy like Adam Schefter gets information in March, hey, I'm here and Aaron Rodgers wants out, he's not going to be like, oh, okay, right, I'll just sit on it and wait another 6 weeks to see if something happens. Doesn't happen like that.
No, it doesn't happen like
that. That's too big of a story. You got to track that down within 24 hours because you're worried that somebody else is going to hear it. So to be honest with you, I'm not really buying, as a guy who does break stories, I'm not really buying what he's selling.
Yeah, you think that when a story that big falls in your lap, there's no waiting because you don't really want to get beat
on
it.
No, it's too big. It's too big to sit there and say, oh, it's an accumulation of a whole bunch of things. No, because the second you got wind that Aaron Rodgers didn't want to be happy, that's your number one priority, because that's a big story.
Yeah.
So you're going to do everything you can to get that out as quickly as possible. So I think that he maybe didn't have everything. They had a little bit, and they just decided to go on draft day because they thought it could really help the Ravens.
I do think, and to that point, and not that the NFL is complicit in all of this, because I don't think the NFL like gave Adam Schefter the green light to go forward with this story. But, man, here's a draft that it's competing with the NBA. It's competing with Major League Baseball. They didn't have to worry about any of that last year. Not that that's major competition, but they'd already kind of been talking that the ratings might be down a little bit for this year's draft. What better way to spice up an NFL draft than to release a bombshell of a report about 6 hours before that Aaron Rodgers wants out, right? What better way to get more people to watch the draft on any channel, ESPN, NFL Network, whoever else is telling? I mean, what better way to pump up a little more interest than a perfectly timed surgical strike 6 hours before the draft? Hey, by the way, Aaron Rodgers wants out. It might happen today. Boom. All of a sudden, everybody's draft attention goes from a 7 to a 10.5, right? Just like
sure,
that.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, listen, I mean, I think he's getting some heat. He's getting a little bit of heat, too.
Seems like it.
You know, as people react into, you know, why did you go with it at that time?
Yeah. When we come back, the Arizona Diamondbacks trying to avoid the sweep today in Miami, and it is a start, for Madison Bumgarner. How's it going so far, given that he's been pitching better? We'll give you a complete update next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
I would talk about all these positive things. I like sometimes the negatives are good.
John Gambadero, Dave Burns, Burns and Gambo Show. Happy Thursday to you. Thanks for hanging out with us. You know, we appreciate it. The Arizona Diamondbacks right now, 1-1 against the Miami Marlins in the bottom of the fourth. And because I know everybody wants to know, Madison Bumgarner in his three innings, obviously he has given up the one run so far, but he's given up just one hit so far. He hasn't walked anybody, and he has struck out 5 Miami Marlins so far.
Yeah, he...
So far, so good for Mad Bum.
Yeah, looks like he struck out the side in the second, and then the top two guys. So he went strikeout, 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 strikeout. Struck out Anderson, struck out...
Are you talking about the second? He struck out Anderson, Brinson, and Wallach.
Brinson and Wallach, and then he started the third inning with 2 strikeouts of Beattie and Lopez. So he had the 5 strikeouts in a row for Madison Bumgarner. Pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all. Miguel Rojas, the scoring so far for the Marlins, he had a homer. Very first pitch, not first pitch, but the first at-bat of the night for the Marlins. He took Madison Bumgarner deep, and ever since then, Mad Bum has been in control.
Diamondback. That's a good sign.
Oh, it's a great sign.
It's a really good sign that he's pitching well. I mean, it's, you know, the first start, okay, we'll see. Second start, okay, but 3 now. Now, this could be 4 starts in a row where he gives them, you know, a really good outing. So it's nice to see that he's bouncing back and could be that ace pitcher that they thought he'd be when they signed
him. Yeah, and I mean, frankly, given everything else that's going on with the Diamondbacks, and we'll talk about Luke Weaver in a minute, and the fact that they might get swept by the Miami Marlins in the series, depending on how things go, Madison Bumgarner turning things around is one of the most encouraging long-term potential developments for the Diamondbacks, because you are still into sunk costs with him over the next 4 years. I mean, 4 years, $79 million. And after the first three starts, you were staring this disaster scenario right in the face of, oh my God, we're going to owe this guy $79 million, and we're going to get a 7 ERA out of him. How many conversations did we have talking about how much longer can you do this? What are your options if you don't want to? Do you have some phantom injury and you put him on the IL so you can get him right? Here we are now, the fourth straight start where he's putting up, knock on wood so far, really good numbers, and all of those big picture concerns about Madison Bumgarner seem to, for now, be in the rearview mirror a little bit.
Yeah, but what do you pay an ace for? You pay an ace to say, okay, let's not get swept. Let's take that last game.
Yeah.
You just lost the first game. You lost the second game. Okay, let's not lose the third game. We're going to send Madison Bumgarner out there. He's going to give us a chance to win. So, you know, that's one of the great things that an ace does. You know, you want people that can carry a team. Giancarlo Stanton's carrying the Yankees right now. They're all raving about how well he's doing. What you want an ace to do is stop a losing streak. Not that this is any big losing streak or anything like that, but you go to Miami, you lose the first game, you lose the second game. Nobody wants to get swept. You win this game, you'll feel a lot better about yourself.
Yeah, he has given up, I believe, 3 earned runs in his last 21 innings pitch. That is not bad at all. So that's a 1-1 game going on right now. You can hear it on ESPN 620. Luke Weaver struggled again last night. Luke Weaver has struggled badly his last four times out.
Not going good.
No, here's the latest from Troy Lovello pregame today. Have you made a decision on whether Weaver is going to make his next start or not?
We're right in the middle of that conversation as well. So we're trying to make the best decisions moving forward to help this team win baseball games every single night. So we'll finalize those conversations. And like I said, everybody, every single night, gets evaluated, and there's no exceptions. And that's our job. That's what we're supposed to do. We're evaluators. We're teachers, and we're going to try and figure out the best solutions possible each and every night to maximize our chance to win baseball games. And that's what these discussions will be centered around.
Sure, it can be a little vague sometimes, and I know it annoys some people sometimes, but I'll tell you what, that answer was not a definitive, yeah, he's going to be making his next start. That was 40 seconds of, we'll see, you know, which tells me there is a real conversation going on within that organization about whether Luke Weaver is going to make his next start or not. Because if you wanted to, you could have pulled the plug on the whole talk today and said, yeah, he's going to make his next start. He's part of this rotation. That is not the answer Torrey gave. It was 40 seconds of vague, 40 seconds of maybe, 40 seconds of we'll see. They're talking about whether Weaver is going to make his next start or not. That's obvious.
Listen, he had a 6.58 ERA last year, and his ERA this year is over 6. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, he's not giving them any quality starts. He's gone, I think now it's 4 games in a row without, you know, four to the last five, not giving
four
him five
last
innings.
Five. Yeah, where he hasn't gotten to the
fifth.
I mean,
four to five, he's not getting to the fifth inning. I mean, you'll burn out a bullpen so quickly when you've got a starter that can't go 5 innings. So, yeah, I mean, his spot is up for grabs. If I was him, I'd be very concerned right now about losing my spot in the rotation.
No doubt about it. 4 innings last night, gave up 6 earned runs, really ran into problems with the Adam Duvall 3-run homer in the second. He settled in after that. The innings 3 and 4 were very good, but by then it didn't matter, and by then it was too late. And then, of course, off the field, the Arizona Diamondbacks making a lot of news, because today, just like the PGA Tour at the TPC at Scottsdale, just like the Phoenix Suns Arena and the deal that they made, the Diamondbacks have reached their own agreement with Caesars to provide a sports book in or around a professional sports franchise here in town. It looks like it's going to be the building right across the plaza from Chase Field, where the old Lion and Kugels used to be. Now it's Game 7 Grill.
And how many different places was that?
Oh, it's. I mean, I've done shows out of that fish tank for 20 years.
Oh, you've got stories, my friend.
And I have stories. So
you've got
stories.
Oh,
it's been at least 5 or 6 different bars over the years. Now it's going to be a sports bar.
Great.
It's going to be a sports book now.
Listen, I'm not against it. Like, you know, I'm not the moral police. I tell people this all the time. You want to gamble your money. I don't gamble, but if you want to gamble your money. It's your money. Now, it's a danger. There's a danger to it. And, you know, there are people that lose their families over it, and they lose their jobs over it, and they lose their house over it and everything. I mean, it's an addictive thing. So be careful. And I think that all of these, you know, these organizations that have these licenses, the Diamondbacks and the Suns, they need to post all the warnings and have help available for people. That's there. It's clearly posted for those people that, you know, that, because listen, not everybody here is just going to have fun with it. Some people are going to, this is going to become a danger for them.
Yeah, sure.
But again, it's a free country. If you want to bet your money, bet your money.
Yeah. If you're wondering why it's not inside Chase Field and why it's at the Game 7 Grill, there's a Major League Baseball rule that doesn't allow it to actually be inside Chase Field. And apparently that's different from the NBA because
they're going to be inside.
They're going to be inside the arena. Yeah. Now, you'll be able to access it from outside the arena at Phoenix Suns Arena. You'll be able to get in from the in and the outside if you want. It's a little different with Major League Baseball. You're not allowed to be in the actual ballpark. So for them, the closest structure outside of the ballpark is that giant bar right there at the plaza. Yeah, it's I'm actually kind of excited about it. In a weird kind of, not that I'm going to go do it every single day, I'm not, but that will be something.
Do you
that,
think, let me just ask you.
Yeah, real quick.
You go into a game. Do you think before you go in, do you stop there and throw $10 on the game?
Yeah.
Probably, right?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, probably. Not every time I go to a game, but every now and then when I go to a game? Yeah, probably.
I'm not big on sports gambling at all, but over the years, that bar, whatever it's been called, is the perfect spot to meet people before you go into the D-back game.
Uh-huh.
So now you meet people there before the D-back game, and hey, I'm here. Why not throw 10 bucks down?
Sure, absolutely. Why not? Yeah, I will. I will. Not every time, but I will every night, especially with the app and the convenience of being able to do it that way. That's the troublesome part, okay?
The app?
Yes. When you have to go to a physical location and stand in a physical line and wait for a physical ticket.
That's a deterrent?
Well, that's sort of a time deterrent. If you want to get in and watch the game, you're not going to stand in line. You want to get in and watch the game. If I've got an app where I don't have to go into the physical building and I don't have to wait in a physical line, I can just pull up my phone. That's where things, you got to be a little careful because that's where things might slide out of control a little bit in terms of if you've got a problem and you're just on your app making a bunch of bets. That's where I get a little uncomfortable with this because
there's no barrier.
There's no barrier. At least with a brick and mortar building, there is a barrier to waiting and having to buy a ticket, whereas online on an app, man, it's just so easy. It's so easy. And that's where the problem is. When we come back, it was the preferred option for many Cardinal fans. We talked about it on our show as being the preferred option. Were the Cardinals close to trading the 16th pick? Gambo's got some answers on that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.